Previously on the Electric Information Show.
So I says to him, hey, are you listening? Oh, wait, you're dead.
So, Rousedower, is that a stupid name, or...
I've got the hairspray and the ice tongs, you bring the shaved ice and the hippo.
Stop screaming. Giving me a hard-on.
Excuse me, I seem to have a dice.
I am a fan!
Wait, that's... Phrase. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Electric Information Show. I'm Joe Convoy, here always with my awesome co-host, Toya. What's up, Toya?
I don't really want to be here right now.
Well, you know you have to be. You're contractually obligated.
Yeah, that's what happens when you sign a contract with Satan.
Yeah. And, of course, joining us this week in our lifeless black void that we like to call our studio is the Internet's darling, the cinema snob, Brad Jones. Hey, what's up, Brad?
I am a darling.
You are. You got that little child star kind of a face, though.
Exactly. I'm the wonder of a child.
Like the real world Dickie Roberts.
Yeah. I am so creeped out right now, you have no idea.
Then I win again.
So what's our topic tonight, Joe?
Topic? Well, I figured since we have the cinema snob on... Well, first off, is there any upcoming episodes you want to chill or anything?
I'm kind of playing it by ear anymore. You know, I have an 80s Dan that I have written that I need to finally get around to shooting, but directing and editing one of those, like directing and editing a short film, so I have to make sure my week is pretty, that I have a couple pretty good days there to do that. But in terms of like stuff like The Snob and shows like that, anymore I sort of pick the episodes like right before I do them, because if I pick them too far in advance, I'll kind of lose the drive to want to talk about it by the time I actually get around to doing it. So, you know, so I'll usually pick out which one I want to do like a day or two before I do it.
That actually seems like a pretty good strategy there.
Yeah, it keeps me going. 4 years.
Yeah, I finally caught on to you actually when Spoonie started promoting your stuff right when you got accepted into Channel Awesome.
That was when I started watching my show, too.
I would just like to shamelessly say I have never seen your show up until last night when Joe forced me at gunpoint to watch two episodes.
I forced my wife at gunpoint to watch my own show.
Apparently it's a theme with your show. I don't know.
I know, right?
I'd just like to say, Brad, that to state my own qualifications as a connoisseur of schlock cinema, I used to manage a DVD store out here in Trinidad and the Caribbean. And I don't know if you know this, but out here, what's considered a legitimate DVD store is actually just rows upon rows of burnt DVDs.
Nice.
Yeah, and tastes out here kind of run towards the schlock category, so I've seen my fair share, you know.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's the stuff
and
I
Joe,
grew up on.
And Joe, you used to work at Blockbuster, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I have seen my fair share of schlock films. Actually, I've seen probably the worst movie ever while working at Blockbuster.
What's that?
Okay, it's... I really say it would deserve the snob treatment, except for the fact that it's a rather recent film. But it was by The Asylum, big shock.
Yeah.
The movie was Death Racers, starring the Insane Clown Posse.
I haven't seen that. I've seen a lot of Asylum movies. Death Racers, I didn't see. I mean, if your movie's starring the Insane Clown Posse, then I imagine it's probably about as good as you're making it out to be.
Oh, we're using the word starring very loosely, you understand.
Oh, really?
And the main villain is played by pro wrestler Raven.
So it's no Kiss meets Phantom of the Park?
It makes that look like an Oscar-caliber piece of cinema.
Beautiful.
That was an Oscar-caliber piece of cinema. What are you talking about?
Damn right it was.
Okay, well, this is coming from the guy who... You know, this is coming from me, the guy who listed the 1986 Transformers film as his favorite movie of all time.
You know, and that's sad because, like, I'm sitting here with a room full of Transformers toys and I still think you're insane.
What's that?
I said, he calls the 1986 Transformers movie, like, his favorite movie of all time. I'm sitting here with a room full of Transformers toys and I still think he's insane.
The 1986 Transformers movie is a really damn good movie. I would think you were insane if you said the Michael Bay ones were your favorite movies of all time.
Oh my god, the sad thing is I've met people who have said that.
I'm sure they're out there, and I'm sure a lot of those idiots were in the screening that I went to go see it in.
I kind of sort of actually do like the Michael Bay movies, thank you very much.
Okay.
No, I don't love them. I don't love them. But, I mean, I also, for as much as I love the 86 movie, I also concede that it has very many flaws, including voice actors who didn't quite know what they were getting into.
Hey, that's nothing compared to Skids and Mudflap.
Okay, you got me there.
Oh, God. Just don't get me started on those, but yeah if you ever want to see a modern movie that deserves a snob treatment more than any other, Rad, see Death Racers.
I probably will watch Death Racers, like I said, because I do watch a lot of Asylum movies, and some of them I like, some of them I don't. But like, Death Racers is one I've yet to check out.
Like, obviously it's supposed to be a takeoff on the Death Race movie with Jason Statham.
Yeah.
It has scenes where people are supposed to be, like, hit by cars, but the car obviously slows to a stop, pretty much, and you see the guy throw himself onto the car and then throw himself off.
Ugh. My ribs.
If only I had to jump onto this car at full force.
Right,
editing,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you might want to learn some.
It's just, oh my god. Like, the movie physically hurt me. Physically. Like, I came out of the movie and I had lacerations on my back. I didn't know where they came from.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's only every once in a while where I feel physically assaulted by whatever the hell it is I'm watching. You know, something like Chatterbox or Night of Horror or Transformers 3.
Now, here's a good question, Brad. Like, what is the most egregious failing of what you would consider schlock cinema? Like, what is the one thing that turns you off most in a movie?
That turns me off? I don't know if there's actually, like, a specific genre or a type of exploitation film that would turn off just for being what kind of subgenre it is. Because... No matter what type it is, there can be plenty of movies out there that do it well. So I guess for me, it's whenever it really just fails at what it's trying to be and is boring at the same time, because something can be really terrible and still be really entertaining.
Right, the so bad it's good factor.
Yeah, or just so bad it's entertaining.
Snakes on a Plane kind of falls into that category.
I disagree with that. I think Snakes on a Plane is exactly the kind of movie it was supposed to be. It was a movie about snakes on an airplane that were put up there to assassinate a guy, and it succeeded at that. It was a B-movie about snakes killing people on a plane, and it succeeded at being that kind of movie. I don't know what people were thinking going in to see that expecting some kind of Shakespeare. But that movie I thought that movie was fun as hell. It was exactly what it was supposed to be. Yeah. But when it fails at what it's supposed to be, when it's just a bad movie, you know, the worst one that I've probably sat through is, Night of Horror. The one about the ghost Confederates.
Oh God, yeah.
I have not seen
it. I remember that episode.
It just, nothing happened in that movie. Nothing. And I wasn't sitting there like angry or pissed off or anything like that. I just had no emotion watching the thing. Like, I was, it was hypnotic in how bad it was. It was like, oh. It was like Monster a Go-Go in how bad it was. Like, it's just, it's hypnotic how nothing is happening in this movie. And it just drains you of all of your energy, and you're just sitting there like, just, you might as well be dead. And so, oh my god. So that was, and that was the one video I did where afterwards I was like, I know exactly how this video is going to go over. I know that a lot of the responses are going to be like, wow, that movie was so bad, it made the video hard to sit through. So in that regard, it's actually one of my favorite videos of the snob, because it was like, with that one right there, like, I think some people watching it can really feel how terrible this movie is.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to, you know, with that description, I'm gonna have to find that episode of yours and watch that from beginning to end.
It's a fairly recent one. I think it's from like last May or June or something like that.
I could definitely tell that there is some genuine loathing of that film in your review.
Oh my god.
Like, sometimes you can tell when you're just playing, like, your Caligula review. I mean, you obviously love Caligula, and it kind of came through with your review.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, of course, the love letter you made to Caligula before the proper review itself.
Oh, yeah. And the fact, I mean, you gotta figure I wouldn't put that much time towards, that much time and effort into an hour plus long review if I didn't have some kind of love for the movie.
That movie's got a long history. I mean, the amount of versions alone that were produced is kind of legendary.
Oh, totally, yeah. And I've said that mostly the videos I do, they're not reviews. I mean, one, I'm playing a fictitious character, and also, I mean, there are review aspects to it, but yeah, it's mostly a riff, like,
yeah,
a video.
Yeah, you have fun with it.
Yeah, it's mostly a video riff.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think this day and age, I mean, we've come to expect a lot out of reviews. We don't want them to be reviews anymore. We want them to be entertaining.
And yeah.
That's the kind of a thing it's happened with the internet age. We want to hear other people's opinions, but we also want to have that be, like, the journey to that opinion must be a fun journey in and of itself, I guess.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, if you know, video riffs and reviews are kind of, they're two different things. Like, if you're going through the movie comedically and you're kind of making fun of stuff, then that's certainly a riff. And when you're doing it linear, you're making fun of it as the movie is going along, right, then that's a riff, you know, that's a riff. Especially if you're doing it for comedy. If it's right. A review, you know, you're stating your own actual opinion of the movie, what worked, what didn't, and the video itself isn't necessarily following along with the movie linear. You know, it's talking about aspects in this part of the movie, aspects in this part. You know, it's not done linear, and usually not for comedy, for comedy's sake either. So there are differences between the two. And with the kind of stuff that I do, at least in regards to the snob, I like, you know, I certainly hope that someone would watch it and be like, this movie looks kind of funny, or this movie looks pretty entertaining. I should go check out, maybe not this particular one, depending on the movie, but stuff like it.
Yeah, I mean, so your goal is really to get people into this kind of thing, like to stir something in them, so to make them go out and seek out these things, you know, whether or not to enjoy it, then maybe just to be educated about it, I guess.
Yeah, into the genre, into that genre of exploitation, and, you know, and even just showing that there are some bizarre movies out there, you know. Chatterbox is a god-awful movie, but it's a movie about a talking vagina, and it's called Chatterbox. I mean, people have to know that. People have got to know that this exists.
Out of complete curiosity, have you ever done an episode about a little film called Cannibal Holocaust?
I did do Cannibal Holocaust.
Yes, you did.
I need to see that, because I've seen that film, and I figured it was right up your alley.
I did it for the longest time. I wasn't going to do Cannibal Holocaust because it's a very effective movie. You know, it is disturbing. It is pretty brutal. It is brutal, but it's realistically brutal. It's a tough sit. The movie is. So for a while there, I was like, Cannibal Holocaust is, I kind of always thought Cannibal Holocaust would be one that I wouldn't do because it's such a serious movie. It's such a serious horror film that I always kind of thought it would be difficult to make fun of that because it is a pretty rough movie. But then, like, there was one night where I couldn't sleep very well, like, and I was, and, like, I think that day someone wrote to me, said, like, man, when are you going to do Cannibal Holocaust or something like that? So my head is like, I'm never going to do Cannibal Holocaust. But then I couldn't sleep very well, and I thought, well, what if I did? What if I did? Why wouldn't I do Cannibal Holocaust?
So you couldn't sleep very well, and so you decided to watch Cannibal Holocaust. That seems the wrong way around, don't you think?
No. I didn't. I'd seen the movie before.
Okay.
I own the movie. I've seen the movie before many times.
The reason I bring it up though is actually because when I was working at the DVD store, I actually had a number of customers come up to me with that movie and say, you know, things to the effect of, hey, did you know they actually kill people for this movie? And I'm like thinking in the back of my head, you're an idiot, aren't you?
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, no. Yeah, they kill plenty of other things, but so I thought, like, how would I do that? How would I go about doing something like that with Cannibal Holocaust? So I sort of came up with this whole gimmicky idea for the episode where the character is missing and my friend Jared, who's in a lot of my videos, plays a cop who finds a videotape that's got supposed footage on it of, like, my last moments alive, blah blah blah. So it was it was like the most gimmicky episode I did, but it's one of my favorites of the episodes I've done.
It definitely worked. Definitely worked.
Yeah. I tried fitting this whole thing together into this, you know, kind of homage to Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It is. I think, you know, it was one of your better, well, not better, because, I mean, all your reviews that I've seen have been, you know, generally good, even if the movie hasn't.
It was one of the most ambitious.
Way to butter up the guest, Joe.
Well, hey, I'm a fan. That's why I invited the man on.
I do something like that in the future with probably something like I Spit on Your Grave.
Oh, wow, yeah, I totally watched your review of that, because I remember seeing that one, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a rough one.
That's a really rough movie, dude. It's kind of in that same territory as Cannibal Holocaust. There's some pretty serious stuff in there, and you're going to have to approach it from the right angle.
Exactly. And that's what I was talking to my friends about. I was like, if I do I Spit on Your Grave, I'd have to do it like Cannibal Holocaust, where there's some kind of gimmick to it, you know what I mean? To really make it work, and that I'm doing like a comedy show, but it's something like I Spit on Your Grave. Or,
so
you
know. what you're saying is you're going to get raped in that review.
No, I don't think the snob will get raped, but I do have an idea for what it's going to be.
Okay, cool.
Now here's something I've been thinking about. Since, like I said, we're all fans here of Mystery Science Theater.
Uh-huh.
I want to know, what is your favorite episode?
Pod People.
You have referenced that plenty of times. I should have seen that one coming.
Yeah, I do reference that one quite a bit. Someone actually counted one time how many times and in what episodes I referenced Pod People, and I'm sure that number has gone up since.
I don't remember a single joke from that episode. I'm gonna have to actually rewatch that tonight, I think.
Like, Chief McCloud!
Yes!
Okay, that one I do remember.
I've actually got a copy of that movie unriffed, too.
Hear the engines roll now.
It stinks!
What's your favorite episode, Joe? I think I know what it is. I just want to kind of refresh.
Oh, guess. What do you think it is?
Puma Man.
Ooh. See, this is very hard for me to decide what it might be. I think it might be Warrior of the Lost World.
Robert Ginty?
He's the Gintiest.
Yeah, he is.
I'm gonna
he's the paper chase guy.
I'm gonna go with just like what everyone knows my favorite episode is, and just say Overdrawn at the Memory Bank, because hell yeah, Raul Julia.
That episode's great.
That's an awesome episode.
Hey, it's TV's Frank. Oh, hey, Frank.
Dude, you've got Raul Julia pretending to be Humphrey Bogart. I mean, what is for that movie?
I know another one up there for me would have to be Final Sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
Wrath Tower. Up there for me is like...
Actually, on Facebook, you're friends with Zap Rousedower. My cousin, who's been on here before, we actually call him Aaron of the Lost World on here, he made that Rousedower page.
Oh, nice. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think he also made a Troy page as well.
You know, I've watched that episode so many times, I still really can't understand the plot of that movie. I mean, I get that it's really straightforward, it's just, it makes no logical sense.
Those are the best.
That's actually been a pet project that me and my friends have wanted to do. We wanted to either make a sequel to or remake The Final Sacrifice.
I actually wrote a remake of Manos once.
You know,
and like I still want to do it because I do really like the script. I still want to do it. I just haven't really ever had like the budget for it or anything like that. Hopefully someday I will, because I wrote it, like, really straightforward.
You know what, Joe?
I wrote it like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of movie.
You know, Joe, if you actually do a sequel to The Final Sacrifice, it should be called The Supplemental Sacrifice.
Exactly.
Oh, just one more sacrifice? All right, but this is The Final Sacrifice.
What's really funny is that Joe is more of a Joel MST3K fan, and I'm more definitely a Mike guy.
For me, it just... They're both different enough, you know what I mean? That, like, for me, it sort of depends on what kind of mood I'm in, you know? Because I love them both. They're both fantastic. They're both immensely talented and very funny. And they're both different. And they both have different styles, different delivery and stuff like that, which is great. So I don't, in terms of which one that I personally like better, that's always been very hard for me, because they are different, and they are to the point to where when I sit down and watch one, if I sit down and watch one and I'm going to pick one based on host, it sort of just depends on what kind of mood I'm in, because sometimes I'm in the mood for Joel style comedy, and sometimes I'm in the mood for Mike. You know,
I think what it is, I think it's that, at least I could be wrong, but to me it seems Mike is the better riffer, but Joel was better at host segments.
Yeah, because I do like Joel's host segments better. Like if I had to pick, you know, which host segments I thought were better, I actually agree with you. Yeah, I do like Joel's host segments better. The between the invention exchange and a lot of the nostalgia satire that he would do, he were really, really funny.
You know, I think most of the lines that I quote though are Mike lines. So
uh-huh.
I think that kind of, and I think that's probably where my theory comes from.
Yeah, like I said, in terms of riffing, it just kind of depends on what kind of mood I'm in. But I do agree that I do really like the Mike host segments a lot. You know, I love them both, but I did usually prefer the Joel ones.
So have you followed their more recent fare with stuff like Riff Tracks and Cinematic Titanic?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Cinematic Titanic, I've seen a few, and I've seen a lot of the Riff Tracks. I've seen most of the Riff Tracks.
You own most of them?
Huh?
You own most of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a few of them. I did, one of their better ones actually was Reign of Fire. That was hilarious.
Their Batman and Robin one was great.
I will say the one movie that even with riff tracks I could not get through, and I actually watched it originally with riff tracks thinking it would help, was Avatar The Last Airbender.
For some reason I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, Jesus, dude. I tried, and I got like maybe halfway in, and I'm like, no, this is not worth it.
Did you get to the penis hair?
No, I don't think I did.
The penis hair is in, I think, like about the last half hour or so of the movie. I watched all of the riff tracks for Last Airbender, and I thought it was a really funny riff tracks. I had seen the movie before. I saw the movie in the theater. I'm sitting there watching, and I thought it was a pretty funny riff tracks. But then it gets to the penis hair part, and they didn't say anything about it, which I guess maybe just means that they didn't see it, because I mean, truthfully, it is really only on screen for maybe like 5 seconds. But when you see it and you know it's there, you can't look away. You can't not see that blatant penis hair there.
She's like, I sat down to watch this thing with the riff tracks on, thinking it would help, and like I could not get past the atrocious acting. I mean,
oh yeah, it's bad.
And the thing is, I sort of excused M. Night Shyamalan as an actor, as a director for a lot of things. I mean, up till The Happening, I was still going, well, it's still a good premise. But if you're a director and your job is to direct your actors in a certain way, he obviously didn't really do his job with that movie.
Mm-hmm. When he does like a bad movie, like, okay, Lady in the Water, I was like, well, this movie's a pretentious pile of garbage. ego there much, M. Night? But even then, I was kind of like, well, you know, every director's got, you know, something bad to their name. Like, okay, maybe his next one will be fine. His next one's The Happening, which was stupid. But The Happening, at least, it's entertaining because it's so bad. I mean,
the premise was definitely very original.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, because about The Happening, like, I can see that working. I can see something like this working. Something that's causing people to commit suicide and, like, mass panic, all the mass panic and stuff like that. I can see it working. Just not how it was done in that movie. As the movie is, it's entertaining because it's very much an unintentional comedy. And even then, I was like, oh, man, I don't know. It might be a while before we see another decent M. Night movie. And then Last Airbender comes along, and that was just a dead zone of a movie.
Oh, yeah.
I have never been a fan of M. Night, and like now that like everyone's finally starting to come around, it's like, you see?
Yeah, but come on. I mean, something like The Happening and Lady in the Water and Last Airbender are not as bad as something like some of the earlier stuff he did. I actually like the earlier stuff he did. I like Sixth Sense. I really loved Unbreakable. But Happening and Last Airbender are not even in the same field.
Okay, I'm really curious now. How did you feel about Signs?
I liked Signs.
Okay, so did I. I'm just kind of curious about it. Because to me, that's actually my favorite movie that he did.
Unbreakable is mine.
Yeah, no, I can totally see why. I mean, that's a fantastic movie. I mean, being a comic book fan myself, I there's a lot to love about that.
That's
movie.
Oh yeah. That, I will say, out of all the ones I've seen of his, Unbreakable, I probably liked Unbreakable.
Yeah, I loved Unbreakable.
I think that's a generally universal fact that Unbreakable was a good one.
Uh-huh.
Well, so, okay, here's a question, right? Like, I mean, coming from somebody who hasn't watched a lot of your videos, like, of the schlock films, who's your favorite director?
Bruno Mattei.
Yeah?
Yeah, because his movies are just so unapologetic. They are what they are. They're very schlocky. And they're completely blunt about stuff that they're ripping off, like Strike Commando, which is a ripoff of Rambo 2, Robo-War, which is Predator. I mean, he did a movie that a foreign title for it is Terminator 2. And the funniest thing is, it's not a ripoff of Terminator. It's a ripoff of Aliens. So he does it, I mean, not all of his movies are good, but he does it so tongue-in-cheek and so again to say unapologetic. I mean, this is a guy, he was just hired. He was just hired to make schlocky entertainment. That's it. You know, he didn't want to really make anything more than that. I mean, he just wanted to put out, okay, this product here, this is, let's hope to God this movie is extreme enough to where it'll entertain some people. That's what he did. And he did it pretty well. I mean, to the, I've seen exploitation directors who are, by all accounts, better directors than he is, but in terms of just seedy schlockiness, I mean, his movies are entertaining as hell.
I may have to look up some more of his stuff. I think I've only seen maybe one or two of those songs, if I've seen any at all.
Watch, his two best are SS Girls, which is legitimately pretty good, and even his directing is really good for SS Girls, and it's got some pretty wild performances in it. That's another thing I like about him, too, is because he has a way of directing his actors to give performances that really complement the kind of movie that they're in. So, I mean, SS Girls is great, and Women's Prison Massacre is fantastic.
Well, with a name like that, how could you go wrong?
Right? Exactly.
Now, here's another question posed to you. Who do you think, out of these two, is more awesome? We have Reb Brown, with his amazing ability to yell like Banshee.
Yeah.
Or Pierre Kirby, whose sheer mystery just creates this awe around him.
I think the sheer mystery, like you said, of Pierre Kirby it certainly throws out there something that's beyond the movies he was in, you know, that it's less about the movies and more him, you know?
Yeah.
Just the mystery surrounding him, the lore, almost, you know?
Have you have you found any more Kirby films?
I believe I have all of them, which adds up to 9, I think. There's one more that I haven't done on the show yet. It's a movie called Crackdown Mission, which is actually a pretty fun movie because, I mean, the best ones of the Godfrey Ho ones are the ones where the Godfrey Ho footage is really fun and the footage that it's being spliced into is also fairly solid. I mean, those make for the best. Otherwise, you have, you know, the Godfrey Ho footage is fun and entertaining, but the rest of it's boring. Crackdown Mission, the stuff with Pierre Kirby is great, because anything with him is really entertaining and preposterous. But then, the movie that it's being spliced into is a Korean remake ripoff of Miss 45. It's Miss 45, the revenge movie that Abel Ferrara did. That's the movie that it's being spliced into. Not actually Miss 45, but a movie that's ripping it off. So that was a lot of fun.
So, two things about Pierre Kirby. One, it's awesome that his name is half French, half Nintendo character.
Yeah.
And secondly, I just want to say, after the episode that Joe made me watch last night, Full Metal Ninja is going to be the name of my new emo core metal band.
Nice.
Oh, tell them about your plans for what we saw with Alienator.
Oh God, the female character in that with like the metal suit and everything.
Oh, Tegan.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing. I actually work for a company that does carnival costumes, and. Our theme this year is superheroes, and they have me doing like some of the illustrations and everything, and I think I might want to do one based on that.
You should be the Alienator, man. Come on.
That's exactly
great.
What I said.
What I'm thinking, and it's like it would be like the greatest in-joke homage ever.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to care about copyright about that at that stage? You know, I can totally use the name and whatever.
Right, yeah, exactly. I think that Fred Olen Ray, the director, would be honored.
His name just sounds like a cooking product of some kind.
Fred Olen Ray. Nice.
Oh, God. So here's another question for you, Brad. I really do want your input on this, like from an incredibly schlocky movie connoisseur opinion. Uh-huh. Do you think that the schlocky and exploitation movies have gone away, or do you think they're just in different guises being filmed out there on handycams and put up on YouTube and stuff? What do you think the future of the schlock industry is?
Well, it's certainly with the micro-budgeted industry and everything, it's certainly easier nowadays for people to make their own. I mean, what, I've made like 6 or something like that. It's certainly a little easier for people. It's easier for people to make their own, and also easier for those people to get their movies seen. So there's that. But, you know, there, of course, exploitation movies still exist. Of course they do. They tend to have a different feel to them nowadays than they did in the Golden Age. And that's really why I don't do anything on the snob past 1995. Because past then, I mean, of course, you're always going to have exploitation. You're always going to have schlock. You know, you are. That's not a bad thing. Exploitation and schlock are not bad words. They're not. You know, that's stuff I grew up on. That's stuff is great. But, you know, the ones nowadays, you know, the ones of the past 15 or so years, 15, 20 years, they have different feels to them. You know, the look of them is different. They're a lot more polished now. A lot, you know, they don't have that grain that they used to have, that film grain that really did add a lot to them. That really did make them feel as sleazy as they were, and that's a good thing. So nowadays, yeah, they're a lot more polished looking, you know, which I don't really like all that much. And nowadays, they're also, you know, obviously not all of them, many of them tongue in cheek, almost like they're a spoof, which I don't really like. I like it more when they're straightforward. You know, I did that Hooker with the Heart of Gold movie, and it had an outlandish plot, but we didn't do it as a spoof or anything like that. We made it as an homage, and that I think that if, you know, you want to do, you know, an exploitation film or something like that, homage is better than spoof.
Which, by the way, Hooker with the Heart of Gold is one of the best names for a movie ever. It's right up there with, like, Snakes on a Plane. It's just awesome.
Thank you.
It totally tells you what the movie's about, right?
I know. I love that in the title.
It is literally about a hooker with a heart of gold.
It would be even more awesome if she were, like, part mechanical and it was literally a heart made out of, like, 24-karat gold.
It is. That's what the movie's about.
Oh, holy shit. I was totally joking. Oh my god.
You just blew his mind, Brad.
Oh, the movie's about, I need to watch this episode like now.
Oh yeah, it's on my site. It's a movie about a doctor who creates a mechanical heart made of solid gold, and he accidentally runs over a prostitute, brings her back by putting a golden heart inside of her.
You know, if I were a producer, I'd have greenlit that shit like as soon as you started talking.
Thank you.
$2 million, go with that.
Sold.
So here's another question for you. I'm pretty sure people might have sent you trailers of these things, whatever. But have you ever been asked to review a Nigerian movie?
Oh God.
Yeah. A couple of times. I'm pretty sure I've gotten, like, Nigerian Titanic requested to me. Other than that, I don't... I know there's probably been a few times where a Nigerian movie has been suggested, but from the title, I can't remember what they were.
Oh, trust me, the titles are just a mess. But
nice.
No, my brother is actually a professor of mass media, culture, and communication studies, and last time he was over here, he wanted to know, like, why were Nigerian movies so popular in the Caribbean, of all places? And
yeah.
he picked up a few to watch, and I think he only ever got like 10 minutes into any of them before he just gave up on them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, he's doing a study, and he can't even keep a straight face while watching these things, so they're pretty bad. They're a whole different level of bad, though. I don't even think you can have any enjoyment watching them like you can, like something out of the 80s, like, I don't know, American Ninja or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I've seen clips of the Nigerian Titanic, because Ed Glazer has spotlighted that on his show, Deja Vu.
Okay.
Yeah, he does all the foreign remakes.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's a lot of fun.
I'm gonna check that out too. I'm definitely gonna have to catch up on a few of your episodes, Brad. Now I'm really intrigued. That Hooker with a Heart of Gold thing, I need to watch that tonight. Like Toot Sweet. Like this is like bringing a pull in my head right now.
I did it as a it's a full length movie. I split it up into a mini series, so it's in five parts. But yeah, it's up on the site.
Gotta check that out. Joe, you got anything else for him?
Hmm?
You got anything else for Brad?
Yeah, just the That Guy with the Glasses anniversary films. Like, I heard it was pretty rough filming Kickassia and everything. Were you one of the casualties, basically?
It wasn't too terribly rough filming Kickassia. I mean, you know, we all just hung out. When we weren't in front of the camera, we all just kind of hung out with each other. I mean, you know, there was some, like Rob, like, twisted his ankle at one point. Some of us got sunburnt. I got a little nick on my finger from Doug's hat in it, which was a tiny cut. It was like a millimeter, but it went really deep in my finger, so it bled bad. But yeah, that happened, but it wasn't too rough of a shoot. I mean, it certainly was. I'm sure it was stressful for Doug and Rob to get that shot in 4 days. I mean, shooting no matter how the movie a movie turns out, I mean, you shoot a full-length movie like that in 4 days, that's impressive. You know, not many people can do that. So yeah, I'm sure they were probably stressed out a little about that, but it was a fun shoot. You know, we're all very good friends, and we only get to see each other about once or twice a year. So you know, we just liked hanging out.
You've probably watched both of the anniversary movies. Which one did you end up liking more? Kickassia or Suburban Nights?
Probably Kickassia. Probably that one. Because it, like I talked about Kickassia being a little stressful, you know. So was Suburban Nights. Again, filming something like that long in 4 days, 4 or 5 days, something like that, you know, it makes for some long days. It does, which is normal, which is you know, what you would expect. And Suburban Nights was a longer movie, so the days were a bit longer. I mean, I would probably say Kickassia, but, you know, I would have a hard time judging between the two movies since I was in both of them, but I could only look at something like that on like my experience doing it, because I don't really have too critical of an eye when, you know, I'm in something with a bunch of my friends where we're all just goofing off.
I guess, yeah. So,
but it was less stressful on the set of Kickassia.
It was less stressful. Okay. So yeah, I guess that's what I meant. Is like, which one was easier to make?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because it, you know, I've been in a lot of stuff with my friends. You know, like my friend Ryan has directed short films and stuff like that. So sometimes, you know, it's whenever I look at stuff like that, you know, I look at me and my friends, you know, just having a really good time.
Yeah. Do you have anything else for him, Toya?
I don't know. I'm pretty good, unless you want to just draw about, like, you know, what upcoming movies you, I think you might consider, like, as, I don't know, as like cinematic turkeys that might be coming up in the future.
Oh, here's something. Never thought about teaming up with Spoony maybe to do a Blair Witch review.
A review of Blair Witch? I don't know. I think we both really like that movie.
I do too, but I think it'd be a nice, kind of like a nice little tribute, kind of like what you do with Caligula.
Oh, like with Caligula, like Cannibal Holocaust and stuff like that. Yeah, that would be fun. I mean, doing anything with him would be a lot of fun. We did that human spider fake
yes.
trailer.
Oh my god, that was awesome.
Which was a lot. We had a lot of fun doing that. That was a blast to shoot.
You're all the middle piece.
Yeah. And I have no shame whatsoever, so I'm just hanging out on the set of that thing in a diaper and toilet paper around my knees. That was a lot of fun to shoot.
See? Giving ideas here.
All I'm saying is, if you're gonna do a Blair Witch review, just film it in the style of the Blair Witch Project. That's the easiest thing to do right there.
Yeah, that would be very easy.
You're trying to find Spoonie. Was it Spoonie you said, Joe?
Yeah.
You're trying to find Spoonie's house and you get lost on the way there. There's your plot right there.
Exactly. Why would I have a map to your house?
I don't know!
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I didn't have the map ready.
Maybe see if we can try to get one of the female members of Channel Awesome to be your Heather.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone screaming, Spoonie!
Yeah.
I didn't quite like that movie. I just felt like a lot of the magic was lost once it hit wide release and people, you know, kind of knew that it was, you know, the magic was lost once the fourth wall was broken on it, I guess.
I liked the movie. I believe I saw it like the weekend it came out, so
yeah.
A little bit before a lot of the hype had hit, you know.
Can we at least agree that the sequel did not need to be made?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, like, I'd have no problem with there being a sequel to the Blair Witch Project. I'm sure, you know, a good sequel to the Blair Witch Project could be made. It just wasn't that one.
Yeah.
God, that movie was terrible.
How many times really? Have you uttered that line in your entire life?
Yeah, exactly.
If you had a nickel for every time you said that. Well, technically, every time someone watches one of your videos.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some where I sit there and... Because, I mean, I am sitting there taking notes when I'm watching it, writing down jokes. So, you know, it isn't like I'm sitting there just casually watching it and taking it all in, you know. But there are plenty of times where I'm sitting there like, yeah, God, this movie is terrible.
I mean, it goes back to what we were saying before. I mean, you're trying to be entertaining, but I think at the heart of your entertaining banter, there's also, like, a core of really good criticism there that, it comes from a good place, though. I mean, you do genuinely enjoy a lot of these movies.
Oh, yeah, many of them, yeah. I find very fun. I mean, like I said, there's plenty of them though where they were legitimately really hard to sit through. Like is some of the hardest
violent,
the hardest.
What about like the violent shit ones?
Those were just. I mean, I guess they were kind of hard to sit through. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they were just kind of were what they were. They were just a stag reel of death scenes, you know. So it was like, hey, whatever. I mean, the gore effects were good in them. They were just kind of pointless. But other than that, ones where I was like, oh my god, when is this damn thing going to get over with? Were like, of course, like Chatterbox, Night of Horror, the Superman musical.
Oh god.
Wait, what?
Superman, the 1975 musical.
Oh, God, you watched that?
I did. Yeah. That was really hard to sit through.
And you know, you think the world would have learned their lesson with that, yet we still somehow got Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
I believe I'll be looking forward to that review, Brad.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, Nostalgia Chick did it. With,
yeah,
Todd in the Shadows.
I heard that she went to go see it.
Yeah, it was like her, Todd in the Shadows, and I think Nella.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to hear what Brad had to say about it.
I'll end up seeing it somehow.
God damn it, Joe! Are you turning me into a Brad fan now?
Yes, I am.
God damn,
damn
it! Is this revenge for the whole Kamen Rider thing?
Yes, it is.
God damn it!
Hey, I couldn't put you into Chikara.
Yeah, no, I think that the universe was against me watching that because every time we try to get me to watch it, something would happen.
Oh well. I accept making you a cinema snob fan a worthy second place.
Yeah, that'll work. I'll be watching his videos mostly at work when I'm bored.
I usually try to watch them whenever they come out.
Thank you.
I'm like usually up at like 3 in the morning anyway, so I'm like, ooh, new snob video.
Yeah, that's about the time I go to bed, especially when I'm editing one of those.
Hey, new Brad tries, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way, I really... After seeing that, you have no idea how hard I've been trying to get my hands on some actual Crystal Pepsi.
Oh, just eBay. You can find it on eBay. And like I said, the Nazi Cola, that's Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah.
It's just under a different name, but
it's
that's Crystal Pepsi. Yeah, the shipping is kind of a bummer on it, but it's out there, you know.
Yeah, actually,
does that like not expire or something?
What, Crystal Pepsi? I mean, yeah, sodas have a sell by date on it, but if you get Crystal Pepsi, that's the original Crystal Pepsi, you know, like from 18 years ago. It tastes fine. It tastes flat, but it still pretty much tastes like Crystal Pepsi. I mean, it's kind of yellowed now because of the sugar breakdown, but yeah, you can drink it. You can drink
it.
I
think I'd rather take my health chances with Crystal Meth.
An old Crystal Pepsi is better for you. It's not gonna hurt. It won't hurt you. I mean, you probably shouldn't chug it, but it won't hurt you. It tastes flat, but it doesn't taste any flatter than it would if it was like a day or two old.
I'm just gonna say at this point, thank God that I'm diabetic.
Yeah, you're definitely gonna have to let me know where to send that Red Rain stuff to.
Oh, yeah, 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 no problem. Just shoot me an email.
Yeah. Yeah, because I want to get some of that stuff out to you. That's, you're going to have fun with that.
No problem.
I kind of want to see him try the
Don't worry, I promised it won't be nearly as bad as the brainwash that Bennett sent you.
The stuff that turned my crap blue. Oh, man.
There's an episode I don't want to see.
Yeah, I never thought I could see shit look so sad. No, I did a gag at the end of that video where I was like, oh, man, my piss turned blue or something like that, but it was just, I just poured some of the drink in the toilet. But later on, yeah, it turns your shit blue. Later on, I was like, oh, man, too bad the video's already posted.
Oh, you wouldn't do that to us. I don't want to see your crap. Like,
sure
literally.
You do.
Joe,
everyone wants to see my crap.
You're a celebrity now. The paparazzi are after it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a whole new level of internet fame.
Yeah.
Damn paparazzo.
www.whatsinbradscrap.com.
Oh, God. Oh, you might want to secure that like right now before someone actually hears this episode.
Yeah.
I think time's starting to run a little long here. I think we've been going a little over an hour now.
Yeah, I should about wrap this up.
You gotta be up early tomorrow, don't you, Toya?
Yeah, I gotta be up to work in the morning and a military curfew, so yay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, thanks a ton, Brad, for joining us.
No problem.
Hopefully, come on whenever you feel like it. We'd love to have you back.
Hey, no problem, man.
Especially if we do another movies episode, because I really want your input on some stuff. And, hey, I think you might have yourself a new fan here. I'm definitely going to check out the rest of your videos now.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much. Yeah, check out Hooker with the Heart of Gold, and I did a sleazy sleazy 80s movie called Midnight Heat that's pretty fun.
And you also had the movie you're in recently, Paranoia.
Yeah, Paranoia is out for sale. Out for sale right now at walkawayentertainment.com.
All right. Cool. Right on.
Well, like I said, thanks again, Brad. Toya.
No problem.
Of course, always joining me. I'm Joe Convoy, just saying thanks, everyone, and I don't have a sign-off line.